Time spent in the presence of the Lord is never wasted time. And sometimes you know what you got to do? You got to drag your body. And when I'm talking about you, I'm talking the real you. Because the real you is not your body. Your real you is your spirit man. Can I have a witness? You don't have to be shy to say amen. Okay? Don't be shy here. If what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. And you know what you can testify about what I'm talking about. You should say, that's right, Pastor. Come on now. That's why we say, yeah, buddy. There you go. I might even be better to say, yeah, buddy. Well, I release you. Yeah, say, yeah, buddy. But, you know, thanks to everyone that came in the past 24 hours. And if you weren't able to come and you sign up to pray at home, thank you. The other night, I can sleep, you know, if physically God wants you to sleep. But sometimes our mind, we occupied our mind with so much stuff. Or, you know, we're online. Even I hear studies shows that even to be on the screen before you fall asleep, it's not healthy for you, you know. But thank God I sleep good. I sleep, I'm tired, I sleep, and I always sleep 7 to 8 hours. I don't go to bed late, especially on the weekends. Or if I know I'm going to do something, I make sure I take care of this body because the flesh is weak. Okay, so I have a body. So I go through things. But you know what? I spent 24 hours, in the last 24 hours, I slept 1 hour. And I'm not tired. It's crazy. So I woke up, I felt like, this morning I woke up, I felt like I just had like a booster of IV. Or, you know, when I know people take, I feel like I just got a booster of energy. But it's not a physical energy. It's a spiritual energy that affect my soul and my body. So I'm not saying I'm not, I'll probably go home and take a nap today. Okay? So I'm not delusional. No, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is a deeper thing. Because sometimes our bodies don't want us to spend time in prayer. Our bodies, your body has, there's no desire in the physical body until it's completely yielded to the under the authority of your spirit and the spirit of God. Your body will never want to serve God. Your physical body will never want to get in the car, drive to church, come here and find those who wants to pray. My body don't want to do that. And it's the same thing for you too. There's no desire. Jesus said it. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. That's why we live by the spirit. We do not live by the flesh. And so I go through season sometimes in my life. If I go to sleep and I wake up between 2 and 4 in the morning, two and three, I just like, you know, you're sleeping, good sleep. I love my bed. And then, of course, thank God for my bed. And you just wake up. I'm like, I don't have to go to the bathroom. I'm awake. So I find out in my walk with the Lord, it's usually a time where God's trying to catch my attention for something. So that's me, okay? So usually when that happens, okay, I'm like, all right, I'm a season. I'm waking up every night. So when I wake up, I don't go on Facebook. I don't go on Twitter. I don't open my computer. So I'm like, okay, Lord, what is it? So in the past week, it's been happening to me. You know, of course, I've got this passion, this burden. I'm like, Lord, we cannot do church without the Holy Spirit. I went to God. I said, God, if we're going to do a church for just a service on Sunday morning, I'm quitting. Listen to me. I'm not saying I'm quitting, okay? I'm talking to God. Don't get the message wrong, okay? Because it's not a job. I'm called. I'm talking to God. I say, God, I would rather be a plumber. I'm a plumber by trade, okay? I love plumbing. I'd rather be a plumber
than just doing church, dead church. I'm like, Lord, I don't want that. I want the power of the Holy Spirit. I want the book of Acts. I want people that come to this church to experience the power that raised Christ from the dead. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense if Jesus is leading, if the Holy Spirit is here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. It doesn't make sense for people that are encountering Jesus keep coming to church 10 years later, still dealing with addiction. Why? Because there is power in the name of Jesus to set you free. So if people are still coming to church and they never get delivered, you know what's happening? They're not encountering Jesus. That's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Go home and tell you. My wife will tell you, oh, he's different. You know why? The gospel. I'm encountering Jesus on a daily basis. Ask my children. I'm not the same father from 2 years ago. I'm a better father. I'm a better husband. I'm actually a better pastor than when I came here. You know why? King Jesus. So all week, I'm praying. I'm talking to God. I say, Lord, you know, I've seen you do it. I'm reading John chapter 14, 15, 16. I go in there. I'm meditating on it. And then Thursday night, Jesus woke me up. I said, and he said, I don't know if you know Jesus that well to know when he speaks to you. I do. Because I know when my flesh is speaking. I know when my soul is speaking. You know how I know the voice of Christ? I know his voice because I read his word. I know when he's speaking. I know when my flesh is speaking. I know when my wife is speaking. And I better listen because happy wife is happy life. So the Lord said, he said, Ricardo, revival is birth through prayer. He said, revival is birth through prayer. So I have a slot on us. I have a screen on you can put it on the screen where it says, as much Martin Luther said it, as much as it is impossible, the next one, the one that says, oh, this is the title of my message today, by the way. When we pray, heaven is moved. The next one. It says, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. We all have this. It's a gift. See, and this gift we have right now gives us the ability to walk, to do the things we do. The moment somebody lose this, you're dead. You gotta bury you. You're done. To be a Christian, what's a Christian? A Christian is a follower of Christ. A Christian is someone who obeys the commandments of Christ. A Christian is not someone who just what they call the CEOs. Now, on a joke side, I thought for Easter Sunday, my great idea was for Easter Sunday. You know, Easter Sunday, you have people that come to church. My thing was, I was gonna come here and say, "Hey, welcome to all the CEOs." I don't know who I said that. I said that's a bad idea. You know, the CEOs is Christmas and Easter only Christians. You have those out there. It's Easter. Let's go to church. It's Christmas. It's, you know, you go to Christmas service. So, of course, we take advantage of those things. For me, I'm like, okay, God, today, it's, you know, you have Christmas Eve service. Lord, I need your word because there are people that's just going to come today just because it's somebody invited or it's Christmas Eve. Lord, those people need to pray. They need to encounter you. So what do I do? I pray. For me, I was like, oh, pastor, you didn't know revival comes through prayer? I think I did, but I just got another revelation. I think the Lord just did fan my flame. The Lord just fanned my flame, my passion for prayer. The Lord just fanned the flame. You got it. Fanned the flame. As much to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Oh, I remember I saw this somewhere I went and I saw it. That was just like, boom, there it is. It's impossible. It's completely impossible for me to be walking without. So if you call yourself a follower of Christ, you have no prayer life. Let me tell you this. Let me break it to you today. Check it out. You might not have a relationship with Jesus. See, most of you probably see me every Sunday. Some of you see me a couple times a week, depending on what we do together. But I tell you, the person that's really get to know me really, really well is Kathy. You know why? I spend a lot of time with Kathy. Talking, office, texting, asking her for do things. She sees me when I'm frustrated. I do a lot of talking with Walt and Dave. So Dan and I see each other. You know why? Relationship builds on communication. And prayer is communication. To be a Christian without, if you call yourself a Christian and you don't have a prayer life, we evaluate. If you're a Christian today, reevaluate. I'm like, okay, God, so that means you and I, we have to have a line of communication. So me and my wife, we live in the same house, but we have a relationship. Why? We communicate. She talks, I talk. She listens, I listen. We don't understand each other sometimes, but we work it out. I don't understand Jesus sometimes, but he always understands me. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. And the prayer I'm talking about is not, Jesus, thank you for the food. That's no prayer. That's not the prayer I'm talking about. You remember in the Bible, I'm getting to you one. You remember in the Bible, there's a story. A father had a son. The son was, actually, does this mic work? Check, check. Like the sound of this better. Check, check. Okay, let's try. Make this a little brighter. So the father had a son, and he brought the son to, the son had a leprosy. Possessed by demon. So the father brought it to the disciples. Disciples couldn't cast out the son was possessed with the evil spirit. I don't know if you ever have this experience. I've had this experience many, many times. People are being possessed with demons. You know, demons coming after you. I've seen it. It's a beautiful thing. That's why don't open yourself to Halloween. We talk about that in November. You know, some people, life is not scary enough, so they watch horror movie to scare you. And then you wonder, why are you having nightmare? Well, let me tell you today, what you feed your mind, you'll see it. If you feed your mind with the word of the Lord, if you feed your mind with a movie you watch, it's awesome to watch a movie, relax in front of a TV, you know, watch a good movie. But at least when you're done, you should be like, man, that was edifying. That's why I love the little house in the prairie. It's my favorite show. I watch it. I'm still in season 6. I started a couple years ago.
I didn't grow up watching it, so I watched The Little House in the Prayer. So the disciples, they could not cast out the demon. So Jesus came, and they're like, man, the father, like, Lord, I brought my son to your disciples. They couldn't help. But Lord, if you are able, if you can, please help me. Then Jesus says, if I can, don't you know anything is possible to those who believe? And then the father said, well, Lord, please help my unbelief. Just give me more faith. I feel like I want to believe, but I can't believe right now. Then Jesus said, bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy, you know, and when you read the Bible, it says the evil spirit, when he saw Jesus, just dropped on the floor and just started tormenting the boy. Screaming, you know, he was foaming at the mouth and all that stuff. And Jesus said, evil spirit, I command you to leave. I command you to leave. You know, of course, sometimes, I don't know, you know, for those of you who have children, you have a son or a daughter, it's very stubborn. But you have that, you also have another child. If they're doing something, you just look at them. And you give them the eye, the motherly or the fatherly eye, you know. It's not the loving eye, it's the don't do that kind of eye. And they got the message. But then there's another child in your family. You give them the eye, they give you the eye back. You know, they don't get the message. Until you say, don't do that. Or even after you said, don't do that, they keep doing it. You know, now what you got to do? You got to sometimes shout. I told you don't do that, right? That's why sometimes casting an evil spirit, demanding all those type of discipline. I could give an eye to someone who is possessed. I could cast an evil spirit under my breath. Evil spirit, get out. Spirit of darkness, spirit of death, get out. In the mighty name of Jesus, get out. Amen. Okay? Or other times, you deal with a stubborn spirit. Guys, when will Jesus use you to help disciple others if you've been going to church for 20 years and you're still dealing with sin? When will you be able to mother someone else spiritually? When will you be able to express your freedom? It's more than just coming to church. It's not, I told you, it's not Catholic church. You come for Mass. So Jesus, go back to the story. Jesus cast out the demon, and then the father went home. Later that evening, the disciples were with Jesus at the house, back at the house, and they asked Jesus. They said, Lord, why didn't we? Why couldn't we cast out the demon? But Lord, I mean, we were in Jesus' name. Demons, come out! Demons, come! They did that, I don't know, maybe for a couple hours. Jesus said, guys, there are certain results you need. You'll find it only in prayer and fasting. In prayer and fasting. Oh, I can't fast. And I'm like, do you believe God can heal your diabetes? Oh, I can't. Man, when I woke up in the morning, I gotta have my breakfast. Really? Really? I mean, you hear people talk about the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And then you're like, oh, well, there's that much power? I tell you, there is that much power. You hear people talking about intimacy with the Lord. And you're like, how is that possible? I tell you, spend 2 hours on your face searching for God. You hear people talking about the anointing in their life. You're like, oh, there's anointing? Well, how come you always have joy? I said, I have problems. I do have problems. If you really come to, you can ask me any question. I'll tell you everything. I'm an open book. We all have issues. We all face troubles. Each of us here has something that's bothering us. Each of us here, we carry stuff over our shoulders. prayer and fasting. So, I thank God for what he's doing. And I don't know what you are, where you're at in your walk with the Lord. And maybe this morning some of you really need to devote your heart to God. To start talking. If you only see me here on Sunday, we don't have a relationship. Now you're like, well, Pastor, you can't have a relationship with everybody. Let me tell you, I can. If other pastors can't, that's their issue, but I can't. That's why I know. I want to know who are under my care. If anybody's under my care, that's why I sent those email out. Message from Pastor Ricardo. I call you. I go visit you. I text you. Home group. That's why we divide the church in home group. Devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to home group. Because I meet with my cell leaders. I ask, how's your home group? I haven't seen so-and-so in church. Or they're like, yeah, they're this is what's happening. Oh, okay. Actually, oh, wow, I didn't know that. After the meeting, grab my phone, call. Hey, man, where are you? Oh, I talked to your cell leader. They said this is what's going on. Yeah, man, you in our prayers. If I need to, I go visit them. Communication. Prayer. You know, there's a lot of great things that happen not only here in my life this weekend, but also in people, in other people watching online. You know, and one of the person that encountered Jesus awesomely is Ron. So he told me yesterday, I said, Ron, would you be able to give your testimony? The Bible says we overcome the enemy by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. He shed it on the cross. The words of our testimonies. So if someone would ask you, someone would ask you right now, what is God doing in your life? What is God doing in your life? And you're like, God is good. Oh, God is good. God is good. Really? God's always working. Especially to make us perfect like him. You tell me right now you don't have a testimony what God's doing in your life. My dear brothers and sisters, listen to me. Check your relationship out. Check where you're at with the Lord. Check it out. So I don't know what one's going to say, how deep he's going to go. But he was willing to say yes, he's going to share. So for your edification and the glory of the Lord. This is what the Lord did in one's heart yesterday.
So this isn't just yesterday for me. I'm going to go pretty deep. You gave me the mic. That was your mistake. this started for me on Wednesday night. And I was at your house. And we were on the fire. And I'd been asking the Lord to intercede for me for a long time. Like, I don't know, maybe weeks, maybe months. I've been talking to him, saying, please, just ease me. I didn't know what I needed to be eased in. I thought it was just work. It's not just work. I was holding on to addictions and sin in my life, even though I professed that the Lord is my Savior and all that. And you know, I thought I was doing it. I was going through the motions, but it wasn't enough. I was holding on to things in my heart that I shouldn't have been holding on to, and it was holding me back from God. So Wednesday night, we're sitting around the fire, and we're praying, and I realized that my prayer didn't feel... He was hearing it, but it wasn't enough, because I was holding on to that sin. I was holding on to that addiction, you know? I feel like if I could have seen his face that night, it would have been... like watching a movie and just wondering why these people on the screen are so stupid. So Wednesday night is just I'm praying, but it's not working. And you have to wait on the Lord. You gotta wait. He'll come when the time is right. You just sit there and you wait. You pray on your knees, you pray on your face, you pray standing up, you pray however you need to pray, but you just wait and you pray. He'll get there. So he came to me Thursday at work. And I thought that was going to be it. You know what happened to me Thursday at work? I got fired. Okay, so I'm in the Navy, so being fired isn't the same thing. I still have my job, I still have my money and all that. I guess the best way I should say, I got demoted. Okay, I got pulled from my position. I lost my title, but I needed that. I needed to fall. I needed to be humbled. I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for where I was at because I'm not living right in my life, so I shouldn't be leading other people. And part of me getting demoted, right, I had to talk to my boss, my chief, my professional mentor, right? You got professional mentors, you've got spiritual mentors, you know, different people guide you in different ways in your life. So I had to talk to my professional mentor who I've been holding on to a lot of bitterness for him because I don't know why. I didn't know what it was. I don't know. It was the best I can come up with. This is the devil. The devil was getting at me. He was saying, no, just no. So I met this man, and for absolutely no reason, I decided, I don't like you. I'm not going to listen to you. Words come out of your mouth, and they just go straight through my ears, and I don't want to have anything to do with you. But he's my boss. When he tells me things, I need to get them done. So we sat down, and I had to, you know, unload this bitterness onto the table in front of him and ask for his forgiveness. And he gave it to me. And I think that's what started it. I let go of that, so I was ready to let go of all of it. So I came in here on Friday night, and the Lord said, I'm going to heal you. I don't know what I was getting healed for, but he knew. And he, like I said, you got to wait on the Lord. He made me wait. You know how long he made me wait? 15 hours. 15 hours. I'm sitting back there. You know, it's a privilege to be on those cameras because you get a different perspective being back there, understanding how beautiful all of this is. You're beautiful. Those flags are beautiful. Oh, man. So, yeah, we started out pretty good last night. Last night was amazing. Every single part of it from the singing from Friday night all the way into Saturday night, okay? 24 hours. It was great. It was glorious because he's glorious. There was so much going on for everybody, not just for me. Maybe there was something going on for you. But for me, right, I'm here because I'm supposed to testify, right? That's what we're doing. We're testifying. So 15 hours, I'm back there, I'm working the cameras, Ricardo's in the sound booth, and he sees me I had a can of Copenhagen, okay? Copenhagen is tobacco, right? The chewing tobacco. Been doing that for about 8 years till yesterday. Right, so part of chewing tobacco is it cuts into your gums, and it leaves a little hollow spot right there, a gap. Part of my addiction was I noticed the gap was empty. I had to fill it. Ricardo caught me putting that in. He caught me. It took me being physically caught to feel that I wasn't pleasing the Lord by doing that. I've been doing it for 8 years. I've been going to church for 2. So let's do the math here. So he went up. We were doing, I think you were doing a song, and then he finally went back to the kitchen, and I said, I need to meet him back there. Okay, we need to talk. We need to encounter. And he started telling me about how my body is a holy temple, including what I put, not just in our minds, you know, the things we watch, but what we put in our mouths, what we do to our gums, what we do to our lungs, what we do to our livers, what we do to our kidneys, all of it. And I told him, you know what, I'm going to throw this can away. Will you come up here and will you pray with me so I can conquer this? And we sat here, we kneeled down, put my hands on the altar. I just let the Holy Spirit do what it had to do. And it poured over me. It washed over me. It cleaned me. I got clean hands and a clean heart now. And part of that was he asked me, is there anything else that you need to... Profess your sins. Confess. Right, don't have that one. And I said, yeah, there is. You're right, because I got to let it all go. I had to let everything go. And I don't have shame now. I left my shame there yesterday. It's gone. It's down in the earth. It's with the devil now. He can have it back. I don't want it. So I said, yes, I'm still tempted. I still feel weakness because I'm flesh. I still want to drink, okay? Pornography is still a sin in my life. Not anymore. It's gone. It's gone. So... I stayed there. He got up and went on doing what the Holy Spirit needed him to do. And I stayed there and I let the Holy Spirit work on me. And when I got up off that altar, the gap from the tobacco, I couldn't feel it. It's gone. And I had to run over and I had to tell him that. And then he asked me, will you share that testimony? And I said, absolutely, brother. Amen. Because God is good. Right? I don't know what's holding you back. Whoever's here, if you're here, if you're watching online, I don't know what's holding you back. But if it's your shame, if it's your guilt, as soon as you hit your knees, hit this altar, wherever you are, right? You don't need to be in God's house. Everywhere can be God's house for you. As soon as you confess before the Lord, if you repent, right? Because repenting isn't just, like we said this yesterday, it's not just about admitting guilt and sin. It's about, you just have to say, I'm not enough, God. I need you. And I wasn't doing that until yesterday. I found that revelation through prayer. And now, I feel so much cleaner. I feel so much lighter. I've been awake for the past 30 some odd hours. But I'm not tired. Because God is good. Because I spoke my truth to God. I spoke the guilt and the shame that was in my heart to God. And now I can live in God's truth.
Give God a round of applause. Come on, can you make some noise for Jesus Christ, the deliverer? You guys can do better. Let's make some noise for Jesus. Uh-oh. Can we make some noise for Jesus? Yay! Yeah! That's right. You know, and the thing is, this guy is an introvert. I didn't ask him to stay. I was looking for someone to help us with the screen during over prayer. I was looking for someone to help me with the cameras. I asked him, could you come from 7 to 9? And then I was going to do everything else. 11, I saw he was still there. I'm like, okay, that's cool. 3 in the morning, I'm like, oh, he's still here. Okay. So I'm thinking by 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, he's going to go home. Oh,
9 a.m. in the morning yesterday. I'm like, oh, he's still here? Okay. I didn't ask him. He's not on my bill. He's not on my bill. Guys, you cannot afford not to continue to walk or come to church without encountering Jesus. It's time. Would you give it? It's not enough to know that your parents knew about Jesus or your dad loved Jesus. Do you know him? Does he know you? And I'm going to give you a chance right now to come to the altar, to surrender your life. Or maybe you know him. Maybe you know Jesus, but you just want to go deeper. I want to go deeper. And if that's your case this morning, there's no shame at the altar. And I know sometimes we don't, you know, I don't want to come forward because what people are going to think. Who cares? You think I could have got this dude come up here and say what he said? Good luck. I don't want to do that because the aftermath would be on me. But I tell you, I'm not ashamed of my sins either because they've been gone. When God looks at me, he doesn't see sin. He sees my son, my beloved. When Jesus sees me, he sees my beloved. And he wants to see the same thing. See, the world out there, they want to condemn you. The world out there, they'll tell you, you're not enough. You're not pretty enough. You'll never be enough. Jesus is saying, you're enough. You don't have to do anything. Come as you are. I love you. I like you. I'm crazy about you. And then you know what we do? We're still looking out there. See, the Lord wants to encounter you this morning. What I'm going to ask, just dim the lights for me for a minute. I have about 10 minutes. And then if any of you, because I do have a meeting after the service, and today I was trying to finish at 11:30. But it doesn't matter. You know? Just dim the lights, and we're going to sing, Come to the Altar. I don't know what you have to deal with. Or maybe you don't have anything to deal with, but you just want to come get a fresh bath. Like I did this weekend. I got a fresh bath. If that's your case, just come to the altar. No one's going to pray with you. No one's going to ask you why you came. But it's about time for you to break whatever chains bind in you. You can kneel, you can sit, and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work.